Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
Let's just begin to worship him. Just tell him your own words in just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Just speak to the King of Kings. Say, Lord, I worship you personally this morning. I give you praise. I acknowledge you. My heart, my heart, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of things which I have made concerning my King. I worship you. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore do the virgins love thee. We worship you, Father. You are the Lord of lords, the King of glory, Ancient of Days. We say your name alone. Your name alone be praised. We exalt you, Father. Thank you. Yes, Lord, we give you praise. We worship you. Eleanor Hansesimanala Hata Hamanos. Yes, Father, we worship you. Yes, Father, we worship your name. We bless you. Yes, Father, we give you all the praises. We worship you, King of Glory, Ancient One. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. We bless your name. Yes, Father. Oh, Father. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Father, we are worshiping you, and we have worshiped, and we'll continue to worship in our hearts. We acknowledge you in our midst this morning. Father, we are praying. We are begging and asking, Lord, that you will open your heart to us this morning. Don't hide anything. Don't hide anything. You said, no good thing will I withhold from him that loves me. Father, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Lord Jesus, my heart is empty. You can see that my heart is empty this morning. But we are at your feet. Teacher, teach us. In this short time, bring mercy to us. We've come before that throne to obtain mercy and find grace to help. We acknowledge our need this morning. We are in need of you. So greatly in need of you. Come and satisfy our soul. Come and fill our hearts with you. We desire nothing but you. He said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I hope we are hungry enough for you this morning. I hope we are thirsty enough for you. Come and fill our hearts with your righteousness. You said that therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Father, may we enter a higher level of faith for the revelation of righteousness this morning. Pour your heart. Bring the seed of the word, the incorruptible seed, that seed that can never fail, the seed of God. The seed of the divine nature. Sow that seed in our hearts, Lord, this morning. That we will become trees of righteousness in your vineyard. The planting of the Lord. I will be as a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings its fruit every season. Father, we thank you. Take us in. Because they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of your mighty. Cast the shadow of your image over us. We want to have sightings of glory, movements in our heart, impressions of God, images from the throne, Father. Paint, give us a painting in the spirit of the divine life, revelation of truth, acknowledgement of the mysteries of God. Father, Paranosti. We want to hear things that men cannot say. Things that a man can't bring forth words from your mouth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We trust in you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Anoint our hearts. Put oil of gladness and joy right now. Because with joy we will draw waters out of the well of salvation. Father, sweetness this morning. Sweetness, sweetness. As we navigate the pastures of the word, Father, open up fountains of life. Prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. Father, anoint our head with oil and let the cup of our soul run over. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you this morning. Hallowed be your name. Bless you. Bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just wait in our spirit for just waiting. If at this point there's an utterance, a tongue, an interpretation, anything, just wait in the spirit, in your heart, an exhortation, anything. Caries. Poines. Prostamena. Hamalenis. Fatatana. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. Glory of God. Glory of God. Glory. Shekinah. Rest upon our hearts. Glory of God. Weights of glory. Rest upon our hearts. Honesi, Mortal, Arion, Kani, Senene, Kanihon, Naki, Sasson, Lefani, Lota, Pashir, Pashir. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Can see your spirit of God, perceive my name from the people. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
There's something that the Spirit of God wants to say to us in this time, and the instruction is to listen to your heart, not the mind. Let's just key in.
Thank you.
honor and glory.
No, eat us.
Honor and glory. Honor and glory. Be unto God. Honor and glory.
Manifestation of love, a manifestation of peace, a manifestation of glory, a glory that has substance that can be filled. There is a manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation according to light. According to light. There is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost that is according to light. The fire of the Holy Ghost that is according to truth. Breaking walls.
Pouring down on us things from the heaven with a smile on his face for those who look on Jesus. Colder than whiteness, white all around. The wings signifying on how we would be lifted. Not on the wings of man, but on the wings of the angels. The angels are here to minister.
Holy Ghost.
Don't us eat on us. On us.
sharpness. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord.
I'm bringing you thoughts. Thoughts.
Yeah, pa.
Behold clarity. Meekness is clarity. In this season, humble yourselves.
Yes, Lord.
See the rod that I have given to you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Not as the human mind comprehends it, but as the heart of God comprehends it.
Yes. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, our Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you, we thank you. Yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, we thank you. Oh, Matene Shendo. Foriata. Hameni Hano Hani Hemo Sana. Handume Ion de Pihina Kama Kuria. Moriela Libatona. Sibrehe de Hora Farada de Likama no Comrade. Yedano Shana.
So now, how many will rise to the mountain of the Most High? Hana Astaya Astaya Hana Astaya Hana.
Thank you, Father. Hall of Heights. Home and Hina Homa, Hina Homa, Kaina Hatano, He and Sospani, Kay on the Heights, Kima on to come the Heights, come on the Heights, Honey No, Lakaya, Dash, Ambadona, Hassia over Turban. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We are moving into, amen. We are moving into a season of ascension. A season of ascension, God. You know what Jesus Christ said, that if I be lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all men unto me. Him being lifted up is not just him ascending physically. You know, Jesus ascended into the cloud. The Bible says the cloud came down and received him into heaven. But that ascension is not just before Christ went up physically, he had already ascended in his soul. When he was walking with them after he had resurrected, for 40 days, the Bible says he was going about speaking of things concerning the kingdom. While he was doing that, he had already taken his seat, because immediately he was raised from the grave. He went up there. The Bible says he went into the heavenly sanctuaries and he used his blood to purify the things there. Right, and we can read later in the book of Hebrews what happened when he was raised up. He said, sit at my right hand. The Father said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So when he ascended, he sat never to stand up again until what? All his enemies. His enemies are those who are keeping men down on the earth, who are making men earthly, making us low in our soul. He said, sit at that right hand from the activities at the right hand, from the priestly work that's being done in heaven. Based on that, I will make your enemies your footstool, meaning that all your enemies will come under your body. And that body is the church. So since Christ ascended there, he has never left there in his soul. Even though he appeared to men, he came for 40 days and eventually he was received up physically, but he had ascended. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, it means in the hearts of men. If at any point in time, men can begin to see me in my exalted place, what will happen is I will now begin to what? To draw all men to myself. That's important. Praise the Lord. Because we cannot rise if we have not begun to see the risen Christ. It is ability to discern his exalted nature, his risen nature. That word rising, to rise, is talking about rising in nature, in stature, in who he is. He was first humbled, praise God, but he arose. Jesus Christ was called the last Adam. He was the last Adam. What it meant is that he expired the order of Adam. Adam in the beginning was the first Adam. After Adam, there were other Adams. Seth was an Adam. Enos was an Adam. Noah was an Adam. Enoch, Methuselah, those were Adams. They had the Adamic kind of nature. But Jesus came, and he came to that stature, and he expired it. He became not just Adam, he became a second man. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. I believe as we're just sharing, we have a short time. But as we're sharing, I believe a lot of the interpretation of tongues and that came will be interpreted by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. Sorry, Luke. I didn't welcome you. Your first time. There's no need to be welcome. You're welcome. This is your house anyway, so we're glad to have you join us. You know, we've shared a little bit about the expressions, and we said it, you know, I think was it the last two meetings we had. We spoke about how it's important in our meetings that the expressions of the Spirit will begin to increase. Yeah. Because the thoughts that will move us forward, right? Those thoughts are hidden. They are alien to us, to our nature and our mind. If we can read the Bible without coming to those thoughts, except there's an overwhelming help of the Spirit. And that's why God sends ministering spirits to us. He was speaking about an angel here. Amen. That angel just came. You know, when an angel comes, the kind of angel he was describing is a cherubim. There's a cherubim, praise God, and there's a seraphim. The cherubims are angels of glory. The seraphs are angels of burning. And if you remember the utterances that came, you saw those two dimensions being of utterances. There were utterances from the realm of glory, and there were utterances from the realm of, from the holy place. Praise the Lord. That's the realm of burning. We'll go into all these things later, praise God, but I just think it's good to mention. Now, when any of those angels come, they can't just come alone. They have their own entourages. Praise God. And when they come and they take over the place, you could see there was such an overwhelming grace for utterances. Praise God. For prophecy. What they're bringing is they're bringing definition and instruction to our heart concerning the Word of God. praise God, for this season, which if they leave us without their help, we can't gain access to those walls. That's just a fact. Jesus Christ himself was ministered to by angels. You remember? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? To be tempted. After he was tempted, the Bible says an angel came and what? Ministered to him. So if angels minister to the Son of God, it means that we are not beyond. That's something that should be a regular occurrence in the New Testament ministry. The ministry of perfection actually cannot happen without angels. Praise the Lord. So that's what I sense strongly happened today. There are utterances that came to begin to raise our heart. And when they come with a presence. They come with, they try to pull you into their realm. They are the ones who regulate the atmosphere of heaven. In the realms of heavens, they are, you know, they are all angelic kiddas, right? As you're ascending into the heavens spiritually, each of those realms have beings who occupy them. And those beings, they carry presence. God did not make angels empty. The same way he did not make man empty. There's each stature in the spirit has a certain glory and a certain kind of presence that they carry. That's why you will never see in the Bible where an angel just came. You know, encounters, for example, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the encounter of Isaiah, he said that in the head of King Isaiah, that I saw the Lord and lifted up his train, filled the temple. And then he now began to narrate, I saw seraphims. Now, when the seraphims came, it wasn't just one dry seraphim empty. He began to describe what, and I'm sure probably words did not even do him justice. To describe, he said the smoke filled the temple, right? The seraphims were burning. Their nature were natures of flame. That's where the smoke came from. Praise God. Now, those things are languages that are used to describe a soul encounter which Isaiah had. Praise God. So when those kind of angels come to our midst, they will bring an utterance, and by God's grace, God will continue to help us more and more to yield to them, amen, and to quicken them. There are some of these gifts of the Spirit that have not been spurred up because we have not, our focus generally in the church has not been getting access to the knowledge of God. When she was speaking, she was saying that they will bring thoughts. They will bring thoughts. Those thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. No man knoweth the things of God except what? By the Spirit of God. So there's a separation. So it takes them bringing their own thoughts to us. Amen? For us to now begin to come into their knowledge. But the kind of spiritual activity that's supposed to bring those thoughts will not be awakened in the church, if the church hasn't found an appetite for the thoughts. Does it make sense? So if we are not pressing in to the invisible things of God, we are not pressing into the mystery of God, these gifts of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, they won't be finding expression. They will be so rare. Because when the Spirit of God comes and begins to prophesy, and tongues come, they are not coming to tell you about your natural possession and all those things. Praise God. You don't need that activity of the Spirit to speak of those natural things. Those are the things of a man. So because you have the Spirit of a man, you are able to what, think about those things. Praise the Lord. You don't need tongue and interpretation to come up with a business idea. You really don't. You don't need tongue and interpretation, amen, for you to look around your environment, find things that are wrong and fix them. Maybe create a business out of it or do something. Those leading around the things of men do not require such an overwhelming presence and utterance and activity of those kind of gifts. So some people might be wondering, why is that in the church? We don't see this kind of activities going on most of the time. Why is it so hard to, you know, No, that's how church is supposed to be, you know. Tongues, interpretation, ministry of the Spirit, prophecy. Those things should be commonplace. Well, the reason why they are not commonplace is because the things that those things, the need that they are supposed to meet, the church hasn't found that thing as a need yet. I mean, the overwhelming desire of the people of God is not to seek the thoughts of God or to seek the desires of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But when people begin to look upward and begin to desire God, then God will now begin to recreate all the tools in the Spirit, all the resources. He will begin to awaken those gifts that's necessary to bring these things to us. Amen. Now, we're speaking about Christ, that man Christ Jesus. So Jesus is a mystery. Jesus is the mysterious, the most mysterious occurrence. He's the most mysterious thing that has ever happened in the world. Amen. Although the world does not know it. I know we are looking to space, we are looking for, you know, looking at, you know, investigating if there are there aliens, are there not aliens, right? We are trying to go to Mars now, that's the next big thing in space research, right? We are looking for things, but put all the planets together, put all the stars together, they are still the natural creation. There's nothing new to be found. Amen. In all the fields of study, right, there are a lot of research now. There are some key areas now, for example, stem cells, right, stem cells research. All those, even no matter how big and, you know, wonderful and new it sounds, they are all, whatever knowledge or discovery that will come from such research are old things. Those things have been there. Praise the Lord. They are just new to us because Adam knew those things. Because Adam was given, the living soul was given dominion over what? All the earth. I'm sure if you were able to meet Adam, Adam can explain to you the hidden parts of the universe that NASA hasn't even begun to find out yet. He would tell you the galaxies, where they are put, their position. He can draw a map for you of the entire world. Not even solar system, beyond our solar system. Praise the Lord. Because Adam, from where he was, he could see everything. He was operating from the heavens of the earth. The heavens of the earth is the spiritual dimension from where the governance of the earth happens. That was where God placed the living soul. He wasn't flesh. It was in chapter 6 of Genesis that man became flesh. God said it. Before then, we had Adams on the earth. We had living souls. Praise the Lord. How could Adam name all the animals? There are animals that Adam named that we haven't even discovered yet. We don't even know they exist. They're probably in the sea somewhere. Praise the Lord. How was his mind? Was he able to journey throughout all creation and pick all of them? Praise the Lord. That naming was, he gave them identity. There's a way the lion behaves. Adam placed that. It wasn't name. Lion, L-I-E, because no. That's not naming. Praise the Lord. When you name a thing, you give it function. You give it, you know, character. Praise the Lord. Adam was able to do all of that. That tells you, Adam, that living soul wasn't ordinary. It was a terrible guy. You begin to see attributes of that living soul nature. The last place you see it is Noah, because Noah, if you read Genesis, it was in the time of Noah. Let's read a bit of that. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's read Genesis chapter, first of all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship your name. We bless your holy name. Amen. Amen. Mm. Okay. Now verse 19 now spoke of what, you know, when Adam called, right, the living creature, right? Where's the place that God breathed into him? What verses? And God formed, okay, verse 7, right? So verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man, praise God. So in chapter 1, man was created, but man was not formed. Amen. So man is actually really a spirit. Man, in chapter 1, God created man on the sixth day, but man was a spirit on the earth. God had not put form on him in terms of the body. It was in chapter 2, the Bible says, and God then formed man, which he had created, right? God formed man of what? The dust of the ground, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? A living soul. So that is the identity of man in God, was a living soul, right? Now let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Can someone read from... Now, between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 6, you know what had happened, right? Obviously, man fell and all that, and then there was Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Then Adam produced another seed called Seth. Seth gave birth to Enos and all that. So there were generations, right? There was a generation of godly men. Those generations, even though they had received the seed of the knowledge of good and evil, that seed had not prospered well in them. And God still called those people his sons of God. But there was another stream that came from Cain. Those ones were doing their own thing. Those ones, they had fellowship with the seed of the knowledge of good and evil. They went and started creating civilizations, creating cities, praise the Lord, and doing their own thing. And those were different streams on the earth. They were not, God's intention wasn't for them to fellowship together. But what now happened in chapter 6? You can read from verse 1. Can someone read?
Now it happened. Mm-hmm. When men began to multiply on the face of the land, and yeah, daughters were born.
Do you have King James?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's go
Look at the hard copy.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth,
yeah,
and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair.
Yes.
And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said,
now let's pause there. Okay. Now this is scripture language now. Wait, so you can just amen. So it's the same kind of language God used in Genesis. Man became a living soul. Now in chapter 6, it came to pass when men began to multiply, that the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, they were sons of God on the earth. These sons here is talking of stature. Yes, you know, a son of God, right, are those who have the stature and the nature of God. The sons of God saw what? The daughters of men. Those daughters are not the daughters of the sons of God. They are the daughters of men, those who have become fleshly. And then went into them, right? And then, yeah, and that they were fair. And then they took them wives of all which they choose. Verse 3, okay?
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man.
Yes.
For that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be
120 years. So you see, that man that was a living soul has become what? Flesh. You know what the flesh is? Flesh is like an animal. Right? Flesh is something that is almost useless spiritually. Right? They can eat, they can reproduce, they can do stuff, they have intelligence of their natural environment. But when it comes to participation in the life and the will of God, they are almost useless to God. That's what flesh is. So you see, the living soul is higher than flesh. Even though the living soul had flesh, It was formed of the dust of the ground, but that was not in his limitation. Praise the Lord. But here, what God was saying here is that at this point now, man had become flesh, and this was the generation of Noah when that happened. So God now decided that he's going to wipe away all these guys, but reserve what? Noah. Amen. Now, you now see, Noah actually was an Adam. You begin to see traits of that Adamic nature in Noah. For example, God told Noah, build an ark. He built an ark, and else told him to bring every single kind of animal inside, two of each, male and female, inside the ark. Now, can you do that? No, not even building the ark part. Let's say you didn't build the ark. They only just told you, okay, go and bring all the animals in this world, male and female of each.
Naturally, it's not easy because some animals.
Okay, let's start with the ego now. So, how will you go about it?
Exactly. How would you even tell their gender?
Amen.
Yeah,
Noah was an Adam. It takes an Adam to do that. He had command of those animals. He can call them forth. Because that there's still part of that dominion of Adam inside him. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus was the last Adam. Jesus had that, those attributes too. After when he was in the wilderness, the Bible says that there were wild beasts there. Right. So wild beasts, they can't harm him because he had that, you know. Think about Jesus walking on water. You think Jesus had to fast and pray, command you become. No. The water, what? Obeyed his nature. Because he had dominion over it. What about him speaking to the wind? Be still. Praise the Lord. Those winds, and those are natural occurrences on the earth. But Adam had control over them. They said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds obey him. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist was an Adam. Now the Bible says that of all men born of a woman. Right? Who were the men born of a woman? Noah was born of a woman. Enoch was born of a woman. Methuselah was born of a woman. Seth, Enos, those guys were all born of women. But the Bible says, of all men born of a woman, there is none greater. So John had the stature of Adam. Immediately Adam came out of the garden. That stature.
Wow.
You see it? So he was an Adam. That's why it took him to actually introduce Jesus to the scene. Jesus walking the earth before he was glorified was almost like Adam in the garden. See, John the Baptist's life, he couldn't live in civilization. John the Baptist did not need a car. Praise God. He didn't need a microwave. He didn't even need the kind of clothes men wore. John the Baptist could live in the wilderness and he was living a luxurious life. Praise the Lord. Because he had what it took in him to produce livelihood from what? Wilderness. That's an Adam. Praise the Lord. So, you know, it's good for us to understand the statures. If we don't realize the nature of Christ, then it will be hard for us to discern ourselves and find ourselves in Him. Praise God. and be able to take the same journey that Jesus Christ took. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read verse 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Let's read from verse 41, please.
There is one glory of the sun.
Yes.
And another glory of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And another glory of the stars.
Yes.
For one star differs from another star in glory.
Mm-hmm.
So also is the resurrection of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
It is sown in corruption.
Yeah.
It is raised in incorruption.
Mm.
It is sown in dishonor.
Mm.
It is raised in glory.
Mm.
It is sown in weakness.
Mm.
It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body.
Yes.
It is raised a spiritual body.
Yes.
There is a natural body.
Amen.
And there is a spiritual body.
Praise God. Yeah. And so it is written.
And so it is written.
Yeah.
The first man, Adam, was made a living soul.
Okay.
The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Praise God. Amen. The first Adam was a living soul. Well, who was the last Adam?
Jesus.
That was Jesus. Jesus was made what?
A quickening.
What? What's that?
I said Christ. He thought I said Kirk.
Who? Who's Kirk? Amen. So how be it, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which now. Why was Jesus a quickening spirit? He was Adam. He was not just only a living soul. He obviously attained the living soul stature, but then he became better than the living soul. He became what? So a living soul is one that can keep life. But what is a quickening spirit? Can give. Means that he became not just a keeper of life, he became a source of life. Now, but he was Adam still. This was not even this is not talking about the glorious Christ. This quickening spirit is what? The Adam, not the resurrected Christ. So you see that state where God placed Adam, that wasn't the fullest capacity that Adam could be. He wasn't a quickening spirit. That's why he could die. He could not produce life in himself. That's why the tree of life was to what? Quicken him. The tree of life would have what? Made the living soul a quickening spirit. But he never partook of it. And that's what Jesus did. Now, I want to show a difference between something. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he says, howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward, that which is spiritual. Now, the first man, now you now see another idea of Adam, first Adam, and then last Adam. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But 37 now says, the first man, this is not Adam now. Now, the first man was an Adam. The last Adam, praise God, was an Adam. The last Adam was also had a state in the first man. You get? So, all Adams, that's the first man. The first man is Adam. Praise God. That is the man whose dominion, right, is of the earth. Does it make sense? The dominion of an Adam. So even Christ, when he came to that living soul and became the last Adam, that Adamic dominion is a dominion of the earth. That's what an Adam is. The word Adam means red. That's like the earth. Right? So an Adam, well, is the first man. So, but there was a second man. He didn't say last man now. Praise God. There are three men. There are three men. Amen. There's the old man. There's the first man. And there's the second man. Well, let's talk about the first and the second man. The first man is that Adam, right? Now, the second man is who? What?
Jesus Christ.
Is the glorified Son of God. When was that second? Say again. Oh, talk about the old man. So now, who is that glorified Son of God? Now, when he says, howbeit, was not first natural, spiritual, but that was his natural, afterward, that which is spiritual. And the first man is of the earth, earthy. You see that? That's Adam, he's earthy. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, this second man is the new man. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what?
A new creature.
Is he an upgraded creature?
No.
What does new mean? It means he never... Before Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, there was only one kind of man. And all of the men who lived before was that kind of man, the first man. And this is a mystery of that word, that new creation. Amen. When Christ raised from the dead, what happened to Christ? He became born again.
Born again too.
So what's the issue of being born again? The meaning of being born again. Being born again means you are recreated. You are created anew. You become a new creation. You become something that did not exist before, that God just created. Every other thing was part of the creation. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay.
The last Adam was a quickening spirit before he was on the dead.
Yes. Yes. While Jesus Christ was standing there with after Lazarus died. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believeth in me, if he dies, he will live again. If he's living and believes in me, he will never die. Yes.
Did you say it was the first, when Christ died and resurrected that he became born again?
Yes.
So before he left the earth, everything that he did on the earth was in the form
of an Adam.
Of the Adam.
Yes. Yes. What Jesus came to do was to produce the new man. For the new man to come, the old man has to be sown. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies and abides alone. Christ was sown. That's what? A new man can what? Can come forth. Yes. 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 Yes.
But he was better than the old man before. He was better than Adam before he died.
Yes.
So because he.
Mm-hmm.
So he was equipment free before he died.
Yes.
So he got a living soul and then exceeded it.
Yes.
So I wanted to.
Go ahead.
Can you open Genesis chapter 8?
Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her. And pulled her from in unto him into the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So
let's look back on an olive leaf plucked off about the first time the dove came back.
Okay. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore.
Amen.
The dove returned not again to him anymore. That's it. Can you put it in John chapter 1?
Verse 32. Yeah. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is in the Son of God.
All of this ties in like perfectly to what Jeff has been saying about the old man rising to the fullness of the stature. One of the understanding that I was getting was, see, that dove that left and was not seen anymore was the dove that descended upon Christ. Right? From the time of Noah. Right? Because, see, the reason why that dove did not return was because, even on the face of the earth, when God wiped away the earth, it was the ushering of a new era of man. Right? So when the dove, the Bible says the dove had, before it was given the description of the dove, it said it had a bodily form and it descended onto Jesus. That was what marked the beginning of kind of like a breaking in. So that was the beginning of the walk of Jesus, his ministry. But his ministry started where the last Adam fell. So even at that stage, it was already a lot higher than the second Adam. Than the first Adam. So it was like...
When he was baptized.
Yes, when he was baptized. And that dove fell.
Yeah, become a quickening spirit.
That was when that whole quickening spirit journey started. So, because Jeff said something about how... Because you see that not much was said about Jesus for the first 30 years. About when he was 12. And, you know, it kind of gave us a hint as to what Jesus was doing. That's what it was. He said, don't you know I'll be in my Father's house? That was when Jesus was, the word was given, an analogy of Jesus being a spirit. Just like Genesis 1, where he was all joining with the Father. So when John saw that dove fall upon him in a bodily form, it was man formed. And that's why we could not start to know about the ministry of Jesus in the physical. Doesn't make sense. So that was that. The Bible pretty much was just making a reference or similarity between the first Adam created in Genesis 1 before he became a living soul in Genesis 2 and Christ, showing how he journeyed first. Almost 30 years before he now became a living soul that people could bear witness. But before people could bear witness, there was that journey. And that dove was kind of like a bodily form, saying, okay, that earth that was destroyed, now you start to see the revelation of the new earth bearing fruit.
Yes.
In man.
Yes. Amen. You know, when the Bible says when Jesus Christ came, that he did not take the form of an angel, but he took the seed of Abraham. So. No, so I know Abraham wasn't even at that Adamic order. So Christ descended when he came, right? He came just as a man that had become flesh. That stature of man is what he came into. Praise God. So you see the difference between the first man, amen, and then the second man. Praise the Lord. The second man is the resurrected Christ. Praise God. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, then he is a new creation. And old things are passed away. And behold what? Everything has become new. Now, why does God need a new man Amen. He needs a new man because of his eternal habitation. God really wants to dwell in man. But God can't dwell in the old man because the habitation for the new man is what they call the new creation. So the first man cannot habit in the new creation, or that the new heaven and the new earth. It will take what? A new man. So everything in God, anything that has not been made new, cannot stand the test of time. Anything that has not been made new will pass away with the present creation. Praise the Lord. Now, there is the old man. The old man is the man that came and married the first man. When the Bible says, put off the old man. That old man is the nature of that old serpent. The book of Revelation, right? Chapter 12. It says, who is that old serpent and the devil? Amen. So, in the old man, this is important. It's important to know the difference between the nature of Adam and the sinful nature. Does it make sense? What Jesus came to put on was the form of the first man. Jesus did not accept the nature of the old man. Does it make sense? That old man, even though the seed, praise God, of Satan, of the old man, had been sowed into humanity, right? But, and Satan would like to deceive everybody that they are the same. That, you know, every man was made for sin. Man cannot, you know, it's hard to bring about that separation. But there's actually a separation there. God actually took on the nature of Adam. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says when he found himself in fashion as a man, and then what? Humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Now finding himself in fashion as a man was the finding himself in fashion of the first man. Praise the Lord. But even while he was in that first man state, he was like everybody else. When he was young, he used to play with his friends, right? When he was young, he had friends. There were friends that were closer to him than others. Huh? I was listening to a message. The pastor said that, you know, he was trying to show that natural side of Christ. That part, the first man dimension of him. It was now going to say this thing, okay, why was it that it was John that was always resting on Jesus' breast? Why was it no Judas? Why was it no even Peter?
Yeah.
It was as if he had favorite. Now, those things are not sinful. They're just things that have to do with the natural man. He will play with them. He will eat with them. Praise God. Those are things that what? The life, Jesus came to the fullness and he expressed everything in the natural life. And he was able to do all that without sinning. Without what? Receiving. The natural man is tempted by the old man. Praise God. So, but Jesus Christ was able to what? Resist temptation. He was tempted in all points, but what? Without sin. Amen. So Jesus Christ, when he died, we're talking about that idea of him ascending, right? Now, Jesus Christ, as soon as he died, when he resurrected, you know, when Mary went and saw him, and he said, don't touch me, because I haven't ascended. So immediately he resurrected, the new man went into the present heaven. But even that new man, praise God, is better than the present heaven. The Bible says he went into the sanctuaries, right? And he purified it. Jesus had to do some purifying thing up there. Praise the Lord. Before he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, it would take the revelation of the new man or the second man, right, to bring us into the stature of the second man. It will take the revelation of the new man for us to come into the stature or the nature, praise the Lord, of the second man. Yes. That was the revelation of Jesus Christ. That was what Paul was saying. Right? Let's see the book of 1 Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, okay. 2 Corinthians 5. Thank you, Jesus.
Sorry, so I have a question.
Yes.
So is it the first man, quickened spirit, and the second man, who is the new man?
Who?
Is the new man.
The new man is the second man.
Yeah.
Yes. The quickened spirit is not the new man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No, oh, okay, let me try to clarify. So, in terms of like the order, right?
Yes.
Is it the first man?
Mm-hmm.
Then the quickening spirit?
Yes.
Then?
Then the new man. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's the quickening spirit that was sown, right, to produce, the new man.
Okay, so believers are supposed to become the new man?
The new man. That's the hope of...
resurrection.
After? Being born again.
Yes.
Yes. That's the whole point of Christianity. That was why God made Adam and God put that tree of life there for him. That tree of life was, the main work of that tree of life was actually to change Adam. Yes. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, the moment you get born again, what happens? Your spirit has attained that newness right that moment. Right? God did not change your spirit or, upgrade it. It was the moment you became born again, your spirit became recreated. You became born again. Born again means you became new. Praise the Lord. But what this journey now is the journey of the soul. The soul has to what? Come into what? Newness. The soul has to be born again. But the thing is that the journey of the soul is not one day. Oh, I got born again yesterday, my soul. There's a progression. There's a journey that needs to happen for it to take place. In the soul, there is a journey. There's a place where the soul will get to that the soul will transform and come into newness. It's not a coincidence that Jesus Christ, when that decision of going to the cross, where he was in the garden, that was where he was praying, and he said, "Not my will, Father, but your will." And so he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That obedient unto death, even though we see that, he just decided to die. It's more than that. There are people who have been dying. Some people say, I believe in gay rights now. I'll go and do something that will get me killed because of what I believe in. People have been dying for all kinds of reasons. Praise God. But in that death, it's not that he died. That was not the thing. Anybody could have died for anything. Praise God. It was that physical dying on the cross. That's not what it took. It was talking about degree of obedience to God. There's a level of obedience that the soul comes into. That obedience is that the soul becomes given and sown into the will of God. You get? That's the idea of newness. He's talking about your soul. The measure of your soul is your degree of obedience to God. Obedience means how much are you giving to His will. Do you know that Jesus Christ was learning how to obey God? You hear that? Now, when Jesus Christ was a child, He couldn't do all the will of God. But He did the will of God that was revealed to Him at every point. So He never sinned. But the fact that when He was 12, He had done all the revelation of God's will that had come to Him, doesn't mean He had finished all of God's will. The program of God is that they will begin to reveal the will of God to the first man to begin to do them. By doing it, what you are doing is you are aligning your soul into obedience. That's why when He found Himself, let's put our hand here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So can you guys see how all this painting in scripture is to trigger an understanding in the soul? What is the Christian work really? What am I achieving daily? This revelation is to point you to that thing that needs to be happening on the inside. That's where the real growth. Now nobody can see it all. We always look like brother, but we are not the same. Things are happening. People are different levels of obedience. When it will show is when this natural falls. And all that can be seen is statures in the spirit. That's why we know that men are not men. No, they are not all the same. Some were obeying God, praise the Lord, and some were not. This whole natural world is just a great lie. We just, praise the Lord. We think that you can measure someone by how much they are involved, or how much they pray, or how much anointing, leave all those things. Well, we get to a point where there's no, they will no longer be sick to heal.
Yes.
There will no longer be mountains to move anymore. No longer great works to do. That's when the real stature of man will what? Become evident. Jesus said something. With all, you'll see me doing all this many stuff, but he said, my food, the satisfaction of my soul, is what? To do the will of my Father and to what? And to finish it. There was a measure of what? The doing of the will of God. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, say, let this mind be in you, right? Which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, that form of God here was talking about before He became, before He was made flesh, that form as the Logos. When Jesus Christ was in the Logos, He was new. Do you realize? Do you know that God is new?
Yeah.
Even though God is ancient, that newness is not time thing, it's a nature. He's new. It's new to creation. That's what it means. The fact that it's new to creation doesn't mean it wasn't there before. It meant that it hasn't come forth before. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ didn't come new, as new, in that new nature. When He came, we'll see it here, He had to take on the initial of the first man who was here before. See, who though being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in what? The likeness of men. Which kind of man is that now? The first man. Because that's the only man there was by when He came. Made in the likeness of men, and then being found in what? Fashion as a man. He now humbled Himself. And what did He do? Became what? Obedient unto what? Death. Even the death. So that death of the cross was actually what? The peak of obedience in the soul of Jesus. What is obedience? Will. You're able to yield your will fully That's the height of obedience. When Jesus made that last decision, what was the prayer? He prayed. He said, God, can this cup pass? After he now said what? Not my will, but what? That was the final. That was God finished the obedience of the will of God. Praise the Lord. Even the death of the cross. Amen. Now in the book of Hebrew, he says, though he were a son, you know, he spoke about him, say, who in the days of his flesh, right, offered up prayers to him who was able to save him from death. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And he sought it, what? With cries. Because he feared. It says, though he was a son, then learnt he what? Obedience. You know that verse? Mm-hmm. Yeah, find it for me. Hebrews, is it Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 5. Yeah, verse 7. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says, who in the days of his flesh, right? When he had offered up prayers and supplication and with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, amen, mm-hmm. yet learned he obedience by what? The things which he suffered. Amen? Mm-hmm. What did he suffer? That suffering is not just beating him, you know. To suffer means your will. That's the greatest suffering. You're able to, you get? Kill your will for the will of another. And then being made perfect. This perfection is a language for new things. God is perfect. Amen. Before God, there's no sense of perfection until Christ, what? Became perfect. And how we became perfect was by taking the stature of the perfect man. A man who is perfect is a man who has come to the what? The fullness of obedience and yielding to the will of God in his soul. So being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him. Amen. Because he is is obedient. Praise God. Therefore, those who will be saved according to him, if any man be in him, yes. right, will be saved according to what? Following his own standard of obedience. Praise the Lord. And that obedience, that is what Paul was preaching. Romans chapter 1, right? Well, say we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith in all nations. Amen. I pray that God will give us grace to continue to discern the nature and the stature of the Son. Praise God. The word new creation, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. What we need to begin to see and to understand is the nature of the new creation. There's a way the new creation is, and Christ has revealed that. We didn't have time to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but we're going to read. But if you go down there, Paul was now speaking about how we do not discern any man according to the flesh. Since we knew Christ after the flesh, but we don't know him thus any longer. Why don't we know him after the flesh? Because the flesh does not capture, right, who he was. The benefit for man that Christ is not in those time of his flesh. It's in who he is now. That's what we are supposed to benefit from. And you can only discern that in the spirit. Let's just begin to thank God and give him praise for the words that he has spoken. Let's ask that the seed of God will be planted in our soul. That issue of obedience, full obedience, it's possible. We can get there. If Christ did it, we can do it. Christ who took on the form of a man, of a servant, he said that it behooved him that in all things he might be made like unto his brethren. So in every, there's no area that he wasn't like us. He was made, he took on our form, but yet he was able to ascend and arise. The way he ascended was in what? Humbling himself and obeying the will of God. The greatest expression of meekness is actually when the soul comes to a place where it is completely yielded to the will of God. Let's begin to ask for that ability and grace to obey God's will, to obey him, to obey him, to be obedient, even unto death, where we lose ourselves in the process, but we become found in him. Let's begin to ask for all the benefits of the new creation, all the things of the new creation, the revelation of the new man, the revelation of the second man, that God will begin to bring it to our hearts and begin to speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you today. We bless your name. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for your thoughts. Father, we ask you, will take these words and establish us in them and establish it in our hearts and produce your righteousness. Thank you, our Father. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth.